This is the Healing Our Brokenness podcast, where we dissect problems and solutions that exist among broken people living in a broken world. And we also believe here at Healing Our Brokenness that everybody has a story. Today, this is our celebration of episode number 79. I know it's gone by really fast. And today's topic is reflecting on the year 2020. From some of my Facebook friends and other social media friends describing 2020 with all different words. And some people have even decided that they would use 2020 for their Halloween decorations and say that was the scariest thing that they could find. When I think of the word 2020, there's really no one word to describe it. And just to start off, to go back to the beginning of the year, and this was sometime in January, right after bringing the new year in, within a few weeks, we were all saddened by the death of Kobe Bryant and his daughter, Gianna, and her friends and parents, along with additional coaches who ended up dying on a helicopter ride. So we were forced to deal with that death. And for me, it registered as being trauma. And as I've mentioned before, when it comes to trauma, there is no rhyme or reason as to what will and will not be registered as being traumatic. We all have a different threshold. We all have certain things that we're dealing with at any one time or another. And so we have no control over what will and will not register as being trauma. But that particular situation registered as being traumatic for me when I learned of his death. And it was barely, probably just upon maybe a little bit over a month after I had had two family members to die within 11 days of each other. And it was right around the holiday time last year. So the end of last year was quite challenging for me. And so to learn of their death, it left a huge impact, and it was more than I even realized myself after just having buried two family members. After Kobe Bryant and his daughter and their friends passed, it was maybe within a couple of weeks at the most, my mom and I went out to celebrate my birthday. And it was really nice because I celebrated my birthday with my small group friends. They had a cake and some ice cream for me. And then I had a couple of coworkers to get me some treats at work for my birthday, which was also a blessing. And then I went out to eat with some of my family members. We got a chance to go out and eat, and that was nice. We had Mexican food. That was a really nice celebration. And that was a lot and enough within itself. But then I had the extra birthday treat where my mom decided to take me to treat me to a concert to see Smokey Robinson. And Smokey Robinson is one of her favorite, all-time favorite of entertainers. And so we went to the Smokey Robinson concert, and then it was close to time for the concert, maybe a few weeks before, when we had the idea of staying in a hotel overnight, and that way neither one of us would have to worry about traveling home by ourselves as females after the concert was over, knowing that a concert started at 8, the earliest it would be over would be 10 o'clock. So we both ended up having a wonderful time, and it was something that I could tell that I had needed. And even when I went to see my therapist right after the concert, she said it had been a while since, and very rare, she'd seen me with that type of twinkle in my eye, a type of like a bubbly feeling, and that I probably needed to do more things like that as far as being able to treat myself. And once the concert was over, it is exactly what I had in mind, that having a girls' night like that with my mom and or some friends was just what I would need to do, you know, maybe 4 times a year to get away and do it, just to have some refreshing of my soul and some relaxation. And it was nice because the following morning we were planning on having to go out and get something to eat, buy something for breakfast, but we didn't have to worry about that. The hotel had a full spread of food. There was so much food there that it could have been a sin, literally, because the volume of the food and the amount that you could have really gotten full off of. So you really had to basically cut it off at a certain point. But we had a good time. And then right after that particular concert, that was 3 weeks later to be exact, I was blessed with a free ticket to be able to go to the gospel concert that they have every year. And it's in downtown Waukegan at the Genesee Theater. And that was on the 20-something of February, the very end of February, basically. And that concert was also pretty crowded. And so the thing about it is, as my mother and I looked back a few weeks ago, we were talking about how it just ended up being the grace of God that we did not end up extremely sick. Because from what they had thought, when they went back, and what they had thought, along with what research told them, is that COVID probably had hit in the U.S. sometime towards the end of 2019. And here we had been to Smokey Robinson's concert that was jam-packed. And then I went to a concert at the gospel concert at the end of February, had a good time, saw Hezekiah walk in person and whatnot, and had no clue of what was going on. And we were just talking about how God puts his hedge of protection around us and covers us in his blood, and we don't even have a clue as to what's going on. My last family get together where we were inside a place ended up being in March, and it was a few days before the state of Illinois decided to do a lockdown. And during that, at that particular function, we were celebrating my two cousins, a girl and a boy, their 18th, so twins actually, their 18th birthday party. And we had a good time laughing and talking and eating and desserts and whatnot and watching movies afterwards. And it was either a day or two after that when we went on lockdown. And that lockdown, it did several things. It was something that was new for all of us. And it brought in fear and anxiety, depression. For some people, for the first time, they had experienced panic attacks. All different things were going on because this was new. It was the first time we were doing it. We did not really know what to expect. And at the time, I was still working. I was an essential worker, and I had to continue going into work. And I could remember just constantly making sure that I was using the hand sanitizer and sanitizing the seats and the table before I sat down to eat lunch, and sanitizing the car door handles and sanitizing the steering wheel, and on and on and on, and coming home and doing the same and trying to remember to take my clothes off and wash the mask. And before I knew it, I had myself in kind of a tizzy, and I had to really like calm myself down and talk myself down. And I said, you know what? This is something that you can't control. It's way out of your control. So in order to be able to deal with this and go to work every day, because you are going to work and you are going to the grocery stores when you need to, you're going to have to be able to deal with what's going on, but not let it get to the point where you are panicky all the time and just all over the place. And that was the way that I was able to settle myself down in, is that I can't control it. I can do the very best that I can do. And at the same time, I could still possibly catch the virus. I was not going to be foolish. I was going to still try to keep that connection with family and friends the best way that I could, so that I could be emotionally healthy. At the same time, not going to the point of driving myself crazy. And so once I came to that realization that it was out of my control, I was able to relax about it. But initially, the fear had a foothold. It had really had a foothold, and it was a stronghold over me. And I realized that was the only way to deal with it, is by telling myself, telling my body, my mind, my soul, my spirit, that this is something you don't have any control over. And that's often not just for the pandemic. It's for a lot of situations that we have in life, of having to get to that point of surrender. Because when we don't get to that point, whatever it is that's going on will literally eat us alive. And a lot of times, the other thing I would like to add to that is that I will often say, the same God that helped you to get through this, 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 and that, and I'll start listing my whole history out, is the same God that's going to get you through this. All those things you had no control over, and it's the same situation with this. It's the same God. So know this and go to sleep. Most of the times it works. There are some times that it doesn't, but I have to find some type of way to talk myself down. So that was in March when I was able to celebrate my cousin, my twin cousin's birthday. And then while we were in this pandemic, we had George Floyd, who was killed by suffocation, and the videotape of his murder was recorded via cell phone, and the whole world was able to see it. And just that happening alone was what really opened America, and not just America, but the entire world. Eyes have been opened to what has been going on in the Black community for years. And there were some dear friends that have asked me, you know, about what I thought about what was going on, and I shared with them my thoughts. And at the same time, I told them that what happened to George Floyd is what happens every day. It's just that no one talks about it. The emotions have to be suppressed for fear of them thinking that Black people as an ethnic group are going to start up an uprising or upheaval or something like that. And so there are a lot of things that go along with that. But the elephant in the room could not be ignored any longer. And that's what the situation with George Floyd brought about. The fact that racism had been here from way from the beginning of time, from when the United States was first formed. And even beforehand, all the way from the beginning, though, is that racism had been here. But it got to the point during the pandemic, because we were on lockdown and there was minimal things that people were doing, were able to do rather, and could do because of either they were working from home or the places they wanted to go to were shut down. Because in the beginning, the restaurants were shut down and everything. So we could not, we got to the point where we could not ignore the issue of racism any longer. And then for myself and other people who are Black, we could no longer sit in silence and refuse to open the box of talking about it. It became our responsibility to deal with some of the comments that people made in regard to our race. It became our responsibility to speak up for our daughters and our sons who are also Black and who we fear for their lives as they're driving around the city and doing other things that any other person would be happy about, but that we have to be concerned about because of the color of our skin. So it became an eye-opening, and I would say an awakening for everybody. We're no longer ignoring the problem. We're no longer ignoring talking about the problem. It's something that we must address. It's an issue that we must address, is what I would say. And when you don't have to deal with the issue of racism every day, you can have a tendency, and so it makes it a privilege for you, and you can have a tendency of having the luxury of it being a privilege without even realizing it. And it's not just for racism, it's for a lot of things. If we are not struggling with certain things ourselves and other people are, we have the luxury of being in our own bubbles and our own worlds and not even realizing, oh, this is what it looks like to deal with chronic arthritis. This is what it looks like to deal with a chronic autoimmune disease. This is what it looks like for someone to have chronic diabetes or whatever type of illness that they have. When that's not our world, we don't know. And when our eyes are opened up to someone else's world, then you realize how much of a privilege it was to be able to be in your own bubble. And this is basically what the issue of racism has done. Some people have been privileged where they didn't have to even think about it. And then once they had to think about it, it became very uncomfortable for them, but necessary to talk about, or you can't heal what it is that you won't speak truth about. And so one of the things with the racism issue is that it helped me to go back to my roots, to really pull from the strength of my roots as a Black person, to dig deep down inside and to refresh and pull out that identity as part of who I am, and to realize that that part is nothing for me to be ashamed about. God has created each and every one of us. We're messy, we're broken, we're imperfect people living in an imperfect, broken world. However, he created us. Every color of our skin, all down to the melanin, he created every single detail about us. Hippie, non-hippie, curves, dents, whatever we have is all of God's creation. And so for us to think negatively about ourselves and not to have self-love because of how others feel about the color of our skin is to deny the creation, the wonderful, beautiful, fearfully and wonderfully made creation of God. And so in every fabric of my being, I had to reassess everything, to go back in order to come back forward to the time that I'm currently in 2020. And it also helped me to think that, to to even rethink with friendships and relationships that I had been in, and to see comments that people were making that were hateful and eye-opening, and the realization that if people are not okay with my people as a whole, then they possibly, definitely couldn't be okay with me. And there were some people that I heard that made comments and said, oh, well, I like you, telling other people, I like you, but I just don't like them. But I am a part of them, and I cannot deny who I am in Christ. I cannot deny myself as God's creation, and I cannot deny my identity in order to keep someone else comfortable, in order to be able to maintain a friendship or a relationship with someone who does not want that based upon the color of my skin. And so I had to deal with all of those issues because of the George Floyd incident. Basically, it opened up the dam and it forced me there, along with me still grieving my relatives' deaths. And in June, it had only been 6 months of me grieving their deaths. So it was still nice and fresh. And what I was able to see, as far as when I was going to therapy with my therapist, she helped me to see that when we say, oh, I just like people, I like people of all different nationalities, I don't see color. When we are saying that, we are Xing out what makes that person an individual. We are Xing out that person's identity. Each one of us, as she told me, are made up of experiences. We got culture, ethnic groups, our backgrounds, where we went to school, who we got married to. All of that comes into play, our upbringing, all of it, and where and when it was. All of that comes into being of who we are and our identity. So when we say we just love everybody and we don't pay attention to skin color, then we are Xing out that person's identity without even knowing it. We are saying that I don't care enough about you to care about your background and what makes you you. And so that was really eye-opening for me, and has helped me to be more cautious when saying that about others. And then one thing about the pandemic that was also a lesson for me, and seeing how it played out with others, with friends and others, is it caused us to have some stillness time that we may not have necessarily done on our own. And, you know, you see the commercials where they say the Energizer battery just keeps going and going and going and going. And the Energizer battery, Bunny, just keep going with that drum, and it's just going. But what they don't tell you, even though the Energizer batteries last a long time, well, we as people try to be Energizer batteries, and at some point, that battery dies out. After so many hours, that battery dies out. And I know when my kids were little and I would buy them toys and they would play it over and over again, and all of a sudden you hear it lagging and you're like, oh, the battery's about to go. And then you're thinking, okay, thank God. It might sound bad, but by the time you've heard it 50 times, it's no longer cute. But anyways, some of us have been running, ripping and running and ripping and running and ripping and running. So when there was no stillness, there was no margin, we had no time to think, no time to even do something as simple as washing the dishes or making our beds, no time to do anything. And all of that, boom, it all came to a head. And God said, we're on a timeout. And so either we take those timeouts, either we place it into our schedule of our lives, or our bodies are going to force us for a timeout. It is going to force it. Instead of being the Energizer battery and keep going and going and going, we're going to give out. And when we give out and have to deal with burnout and those type of things and our immune system crashing, that's not a fun set of events, not for anyone. So we were faced with that stillness and to look at issues that have been going on for a while that we were refusing to deal with, or we were just so busy that we didn't have time to even think about it. And so we were still able to put off dealing with it, but it all came to a head. And some people had to even reconsider and restructure their careers. Singing for years, touring for years, and all of a sudden, all of that being put on hold. And so that has something in emotion, as far as emotional and mental changes going on because of you trying to reconcile. And that could also cause what they call an existential crisis, because you were doing one thing and then all of a sudden that whole world changes. And so then you're like, okay, so what am I here for? What am I going to do now? So it was a lot of that going on because of COVID, something that we could not control. As much as we would have thought we could have controlled it, it was something we could not have controlled. And then with COVID in place, we got to the point where on social media, all the different platforms, people got into the groove of canceling out other people, of judging other people, whether they had masks on or not. And if they post pictures with masks on or not, if they decided to get haircuts or whatever it was they decided to do, everybody was waiting and ready to jump on them for their decisions. And so, as I mentioned before, we want to use common sense during the pandemic. We don't want to just get buck wild and crazy. And then at the same token, there has to be some type of balance. And I do believe that when we respect one another, as far as what it is that they honor and value for their lives and for their families, if when we respect that, we are showing love. Just like with the issue of racism, and in the God's word in Matthew, he tells us that the two greatest commandments is loving God with our heart, mind, and soul and strength, and loving our neighbors as we're loving ourselves. And so if we have issues with self-love, we can't love our neighbors as we love ourselves, because we don't know how to love ourselves. We are either self-loathing or something else is going on. And so we move on a little bit further from the canceling culture, and then we moved right on to November and the election. And then we had a whole nother set of toxic things going on social media. And this toxicity was occurring because of the candidates that were on the ballot for presidency. And the comments became so toxic that some people decided that they were not going to go out to social media for a few weeks, believe it or not, that it became just that bad. Yes, 2-3 weeks of not going on social media because of the type of toxicity. And whether we realize it or not, whatever it is we're hearing, we're seeing, and we're reading leaves some type of impression on our minds and on our souls. And we're having to constantly remind ourselves of that, but we often forget. And sometimes I have to remind myself of that. It's like, oh, yeah, and I see certain things you just need to skip right on down when you're seeing the red, white, and blue, because it could possibly be something that's toxic. And that's how bad it had gotten. And by the time we get to Thanksgiving, then we are faced with the reality where things have started to go backwards, whereas we were going forward and coming out of the lockdown a few weeks before Thanksgiving, it started to reverse where we were going back to stage 2 and 3. And some places were going back all the way back to stage 1, as they did in the lockdown to begin with, because every state in the United States has something different going on. And with this realization, it came the reality of setting in, what am I going to do for Thanksgiving? And so for me, I ended up being at home alone for the first time in 47 years. I spent Thanksgiving without a physical presence of family. We did an hour and about 45 minutes of a Zoom session, and it was a huge blessing. But it was the first time I had not had a physical connection with family, that physical presence. And so that was really eye-opening. It was a little bit traumatic, to be honest. And the sadness was real. I made plans for how I would tackle it, the pain coming in. I also had no idea of how it was going to be once that actual day came in. But I got a chance to see, and it was not pretty. However, the blessing in all of it was I did feel God's presence. I was able to focus on worship music. And one of my friends invited me over her house for the evening time, and I was able to get my mind off of the fact that I was not physically with family. And it must have taken maybe 3 to 4 days after Thanksgiving that my body and my mind wanted to finish the emotional process that had started on Thanksgiving. And that's what happens a lot of times. We have emotions to come in, and then maybe it's another happy emotion, a joke or something like that sets up. But that emotion still needs to finish itself. The whole process of our bodies need to finish itself. So I had to actually allow myself to grieve the lack of having my family around me for Thanksgiving, of being by myself on Thanksgiving, so waking up like that. And just that whole process. And then being thankful that my friend invited me over, I was able to talk about holiday traditions at her house, and that God still blessed the evening. And now we're moving on to what I learned for 2020, which I've already talked about. Some of it is in regards to racism and identity. What I realized for 2020 is that although there have been so many things that between the deaths from the pandemic, accidental deaths of quite a few individuals in general that were public figures, and still grieving the deaths of my two family members from a year ago, between all of that going on, and having to, up until a week ago, having to still work as an essential worker during the pandemic. Even with all that going on, this has been a year of a lot of emotional and mental and spiritual growth in regards to who I am as a person, in regards to what it is that I need in order to thrive. In order to thrive as a mother, as a daughter, as a sister, and as an employee, and just thrive in relationships in general. I've also been able to see how important it is for me to have margin in my life to be able to do that. And how the lack of margin actually does more harm than good for me and my relationships. So I've been able to figure out what does and does not work well with me. And then a big eye-opener that God gave me this year is realizing that just because you can have a conversation with someone does not mean that you need to be in a working relationship with that person. This could be a working relationship at a physical workplace. This could be in ministry. It could be, when we think of a working relationship, we're thinking of having a spouse or a boyfriend, a girlfriend / significant other. We think of dating, or we might even think of friendships. But this type, and we think of those type of things, and I am specifically speaking of relationships where you're working on projects or at a workplace and there are employees. So God has helped me to really have some eye-opening things in that area. That just because you carry on a conversation and can talk about anything with someone, and not necessarily anything, but certain things, does not mean that that person is a good fit for you to work with. People have, we all have brokenness. And depending on what type of brokenness someone else has, it could clash with the type of brokenness that you have or have gotten out of. And so some relationships just do not work together in that way. And case in point being, sometimes we're in a situation where God has brought us out of something. And if we're working with someone in the workplace and they are still there and wanting to keep you in that, that is going to influence how projects turn out and how you relate to each other in general. Because if we are our best emotional and mental selves, we're going to have boundaries set up. And we have those boundaries set up, either the other person is going to respect the boundaries or they're not going to respect the boundaries. And when those boundaries are not respected, that's when the problem can often come in, because you know that either you're going to stay in that situation and there's going to be constant friction, or you're going to have to be teamed up with someone else. Something's going to have to change in order for you not to be able to go back to Egypt, so to speak. And one thing about it is, the healthier that we become as individuals, the more that we're not going to want to go back to whatever it is we were going back to. And I'm not saying that we're not going to stumble and regress a little bit, but we regress and we pick up and we keep going forward. But once we get to a healthier place, we're just not going to want to go back there. And working with certain people can actually cause us to go back there, is what I'm saying. So God has really been working with me in that area and helping me to know that once God gives us revelations about certain things, we have to follow through. The hardest part about that is that it's not always convenient. God is not always, he's not promised us a life of convenience. That's what we as humans want. When God tells us we're done with something, then we're done. And a lot of times we'll say, well, wait, let me do this first, Lord, and then I'm ready to stop, or I'm ready to leave, or I'm ready to do whatever it is you have me to do. And just like in the scripture, when the person said, wait a minute, I got to go back, bury my parents. And then Jesus said, well, let the dead bury the dead. And even in scripture in 2 Kings 19 and the 19th and 20th verses, I'm going to read that. And this is the Berean Study Bible I'm reading from. So Elijah departed and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 teams of oxen, and he was with the 12th team. Elijah passed by him and threw his cloak around him. So Elisha left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, please, let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I will follow you. Go on back, Elijah replied, for what have I done to you? And so, other words, it's like when God gives us a calling on our lives to leave something or do something or change something or say, this is a moment right here, take it. And then we're starting to go, well, let me go do this and that and the other. And then it's like, okay, so are you ready for what you said you were ready for? Are you ready to put your whole complete trust in me that this is going to work out? And so Elisha struggled with that. The human part of him wanted to go back to mom and dad. And Elijah's response basically is like, well, I'm not forcing you to do this. It's off our own free will whether we are going to accept a calling that God may possibly have on our lives. And one thing I want to leave you with, and myself to leave us with, rather, as we're ending 2020 and getting ready to head into 2021, When we think about how it was for Christmas time, which is a few days ago, and we get ready to head into a new year, one thing that has not changed is the fact God never changes. And the scripture coming from Hebrews tells us Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That gives us hope. And that hope came years ago around Christmas time. Emmanuel, God with us. So knowing that God is with us, we know we can get through anything. I want to thank you all for being such great listeners. From this has been September of 2018, all the way through now. And I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you being a faithful listener. And then I want to wish you a happy new year. And the next podcast will be episode 80, and that's going to be right after the new year. I want to thank Timothy Horton for bringing us the intro and outro music every week. And until next time.
So much I wish I could give. And I